Welcome to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with the president of the Christian Research Institute, Hank Hanegraaff. Our mission is to equip you with answers to share the hope that you have within you, because life and truth matter. Why? Because being armed with truth will equip you to counter the corrosive worldviews at work in our world today, while experiencing the authentic Christian life will make you a winsome witness of the purpose of life, which is to experience union with God and Christ, both for today and for all eternity. For more information about CRI and the Bible Answer Man broadcast, our phone number is 888-7000-CRI. You can find us online at equip.org. The following program was pre-recorded. And now, here's Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. I am delighted to be back in studio. The first thing on my mind today is our year end. We are approaching the end of our fiscal year. And as I've said over the years, this is one of those critical months in our history every single year. So we ask people in a very special way. We try not to overdo it, but we let people know what the need is. If you don't ask, you will not receive. And so we are asking people to stand shoulder to shoulder with us in the battle for life and truth. This ministry, beyond the peradventure of a doubt, is making a difference in the lives of people all over the globe. I see the testimonies myself. I got a number of them handed to me today as I came into the studio. David, for example, says, in prayer for you and CRI, over 2 years ago, I had hoped for a healing miracle, but prayed for God's will to be done. Even though a healing miracle has occurred in my life, I'm just as dependent upon His healing hand as ever, because as you have said, Jesus holds our every breath in His hands, whether we have cancer or not. So a word of encouragement. And these are the kind of people that are standing shoulder to shoulder with us in the battle for life and truth, and we're asking you to join that team. We're not asking you to give to this ministry, but we're asking you to give through this ministry so that you might touch the lives of people for time and for eternity. If you have some of the Lord's resources and you can give to this ministry, please do that. Our contact information for those of you that want to give via the mailbox, 8500 Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. You can also give via the web, equip.org, or you can talk to one of our resource consultants, that number 888-7000 and the letter CRI. We also have many other ways that we're reaching out to people through podcasts. If you haven't gone to iTunes and subscribed to our podcast there or wherever you consume your favorite podcasts, you can do so, or you can listen on the web at equip.org as well. This is one of the most enriching ways of touching your life that I can think of. I'm talking to some of the brightest minds in the Christian world. The conversations are all conversations you want to listen in on, and you have the opportunity to do that through the podcast. So please take advantage of that. I want to say a little bit about a biblical view of wealth, and then we'll go to our callers. The first thing I want to mention is that I am persuaded, and by the way, I'm not just talking to you, I'm talking to myself, but I'm persuaded that the Bible teaches responsibility associated with wealth. And I suppose from the standpoint of the broader globe, all of us, or the vast majority to whom I'm speaking right now, are wealthy. God's Word encourages us to use money for the sake of the kingdom. And it's not just money. I don't mean to trivialize everything to what you actually give, because the giving of your time, the giving of your talent is very significant for kingdom purposes. But obviously, we ask that people support this ministry financially as well. It's a very practical way in which you can continue to stand shoulder to shoulder with us in the battle for life and truth. Why? Well, it's crucial to realize that the earth is the Lord's and everything in it, the world and all who live therein. So the bottom line here, according to the text, is that God is the landlord. We are just tenants. We didn't arrive with anything, and we will not take anything with us when we leave. I mean, every single breath is held in the hollow of the Lord's hand. We didn't come with anything. We're not going to leave with anything. So in those moments, you think, when I stand before you, Lord, are you going to be pleased with how I used my time and my talent and my treasure? So it's important to view wealth with eternity in mind, to lead our lives here down below as responsible stewards, whether we have a little or a lot, so that one day at the judgment, God himself will reward us. So ultimately, it's not our bank statement on earth that counts, it's the one in heaven. And I want to share just one verse with you and then go on to the questions. And that is this: the Bible chronicles the prayer of David. And I love this prayer because David is thanking God for the very privilege of being able to give to the work of the Lord. So this is what David says: "But who am I? And who are my people? That we should be able to give as generously as this. Everything comes from you. And we have given you only what comes from your hand. And now I have seen with joy how willingly your people who are here have given to you." And I think about that verse because as a result of the giving, a temple is built. And that temple contained the glory of God. And that temple remained significant to the children of Israel. Because through that temple, the priest gave sacrifices pointing to an ultimate sacrificial lamb. So there was immense significance to the temple. It had a huge, huge impact on the world. In fact, only from the perspective of eternity will we fully know how huge that impact was. Of course, when Christ came, there's no need for the temple, but that temple was the way shower, as it were, to Christ. So Christ comes, and that temple has made a huge difference in the meantime. And so I suppose that what I'm saying here is that there's no telling what could be accomplished in our generation if we too catch the joy of contagious giving. We would be empowered to spread the gospel around the globe. We would be enabled to feed the hungry, clothe the naked, care for the sick, and like our forefathers, our generation might yet leave an indelible mark on this world. So what does Solomon say in Proverbs? Honor the Lord with your possessions and with the first fruits of your increase, so that your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will overflow with new wine. In other words, the arm of the Lord is longer than yours, and he will supply to you as you supply to ministries. God ordains the ends as well as the means. He doesn't need our money, but he is teaching us something through giving. And so give as you've been given, give generously. If you love this ministry, if this ministry has made a difference in your life, if you're seeing the difference it's making in the lives of others, we're asking people to give and give generously. You can do so, again, in a safe, secure fashion on the web at equip.org. Or again, you can write me at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. Resource Consultants, standing by 888-7000 and the letters CRI. Let's see if I can just, so many people hanging on. Let me at least get one call in. This will have to be very quick. James, Dallas, Texas, listening on the web. Hi, James.
Hello, Hank. First of all, I want to say thank you for your ministry, for your books you've written. I've listened to you since the 90s, since I was in high school. And right now, your ministry, you and your family are in my prayers. But I had a quick question on the canon. I read in Luke, where Luke tells Theophilus, hey, you know, a lot of people have taken, you know, an orderly account. I'm going to do the same thing to make sure that you're certain of the things you've been taught. And then in Corinthians, Paul says that he wrote another letter. So my question is, being that there's other sources and also the theory of Q, What determined the 27 books of the New Testament canon?
Okay, I'm going to have to give you a short soundbite to be elaborated if you look on the web, a lot of resources that we have on this subject. But the soundbite, the early church fathers accepted books as part of the canon on the basis that they were widely used within the churches and ultimately traceable to the authority of the apostles and the prophets. Much more could be said. This is a deep well subject, but unfortunately up against a time clock. Thanks for calling in. And again, thank you from the bottom of my heart to those who are already standing with us, shoulder to shoulder in the battle for life and truth. You're making a difference not only for time, but also for eternity. We'll be right back.
If you were going into combat, what would be more important? The number of those who were for you or the number of those who were with you? Now, apply that question to today's battle for the hearts and minds of literally millions of people at home and abroad. That's what makes members of CRI's support team so vital. They're not simply for CRI's critical mission, they're standing with CRI each and every day. If you want your voice and your values to be heard 24/7 through the outreaches of the Christian Research Institute, become a member of CRI's support team today. Just call 888-7000-CRI to stand with CRI daily in the battle for life and truth. And as our thanks, Hank Hanegraaff will personalize to you a copy of his black leather-bound, silver-embossed Complete Bible Answer Book, Collector's Edition, Revised and Updated. Call 888-7000-CRI or visit our website at equip.org. Hank will be back right after this. Breaking the code of the Book of Revelation has become an international obsession. The result has been rampant misreading of Scripture, bad theology, and even bad politics and foreign policy. In the Apocalypse Code, find out what the Bible really says about the end times and why it matters today. Hank Hanegraaff argues that the key to understanding the last book of the Bible is the other 65 books of the Bible, not current events or recent history. The Apocalypse Code offers sane answers to some very controversial questions, such as, what does it mean to take the book of Revelation literally? Who are the Antichrist and the Great Whore of Babylon? And what is the real meaning of 666? Order The Apocalypse Code by Hank Hanegraaff today. Available in softcover, MP3 CD, or MP3 download from equip.org. Or call 888-7000-CRI. The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine, combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. The Christian Research Journal's primary commitment is to contend earnestly for the faith that was once for all delivered to the saints. In keeping with this commitment, the journal's mission is both evangelistic and pastoral, furthering the proclamation and defense of the historic gospel of Jesus Christ, and helping his followers distinguish between essential Christian doctrine and doctrine that is peripheral, aberrant, or heretical. In an age of subjectivism and moral relativism, may Christians ground their faith and values in the objective, reliable testimony of Holy Scripture. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today. Call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. That's equip.org. The Soviet Red Army won the Battle of Stalingrad. It appeared at first the Nazi war machine would secure the victory, but the Soviets battled back from near certain defeat with extraordinary courage and resoluteness to turn the tide of the battle and ultimately the war. The lesson is that both men and material, people and provisions played a critical role. Willingness to fight and munitions in the arsenal were pivotal. Our contemporary battle for truth against anti-Christian secularists raises the stakes above the significance of Stalingrad. CRI likewise needs military partners willing to stand for truth, along with the financial means to accomplish the mission. Stand with us during the key month of June to end the fiscal year in a position of strength. Call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. or visit equip.org. And now, here's Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. And we will go to our phone callers, John in Auburn Hills, Michigan. Hi, John.
Hey, Hank. Thanks for taking my call. How are we as Christians supposed to assess, react, feel about movies that borrow or take inspiration or borrow narratives and themes and different things from the Bible and put them into a secular sense? Really talking more about the more innocuous, generic ones. I know there's some movies out there that we just don't go near. Wanted to get your take on it.
Yeah, I mean, I guess you have to feel sorry for the people because the people really don't have a clue about what they're borrowing. They don't know the riches of the book of Revelation. Unfortunately, the problem there is not only with secular movie producers, but the problem is also with many people in the church as well. They don't know how to read the book of Revelation in the sense in which it's intended. And so they typically use this in some apocalyptic 21st century sense. And even Al Gore, when he's talking about global warming, did this. He said, this global warming we're experiencing right now is like taking a trek through the book of Revelation. In other words, it's like everything that we have in Revelation now coming true as a result of global warming. Well, whether you believe in global warming or not, or what you consider the cause of global warming to be, is not my point. My point is simply to say that Al Gore has no clue what the book of Revelation is all about. And I think that's the systemic problem. It is learning to read the biblical text in the sense in which it is intended. And there's no greater example of where we've got to get good at this than the book of Revelation. And the way this all starts is just to go to the very first chapter. And then you find out that this is the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave to John to show him what must soon take place. So John, as a result of the revelation of Jesus Christ, is writing to seven churches in the epicenter of a Caesar cult, and he's simply telling them to be faithful and fruitful. They are going to go through a tempestuous time. They're going to lose the very edifice that gave them their spiritual and their social significance, the temple. Jerusalem is going to be destroyed. It's going to be eventually plowed over, as it were, like a field. You won't even know that a city endured there for all these centuries. And so it's going to be apocalyptic. When will this happen? What will be the sign of your coming and the end of the age of sacrifice? Well, John is explaining it's about to happen. The end of the age of sacrifice is near. This will happen soon. So what does John do in response? Well, he writes seven letters to seven churches in the epicenter of a Caesar cult that are going to endure this apocalypse. And he's saying, don't do the same thing that the prostituted bride has done. Don't go to bed with the beast. Don't go to bed with the Roman Empire. Don't go to bed with the world, but instead stand faithful, because if you do, you will receive a crown, an everlasting crown, and you will be counted with the full complement of God's people that Christ carries over the threshold of Jordan into the New Jerusalem, which is depicted, of course, in Revelation chapter 21. And then you see the eternal state in full view in Revelation chapter 22. So this book is no different than the other books of the Bible in this regard. It's written to first century people about a first century situation. It wasn't written to us, it was written for us. It was written to them, just like the book of Romans is written to Romans. My point here is simply to say that people have taken the book of Revelation and prostituted it. Now, you can talk about application, because there are catastrophes in every single epoch of time, certainly in our epoch of time. So the words of Revelation apply to them, right? Be faithful and fruitful. You're going to suffer. But even though you lose all the world's possessions, your reward is ultimately an eternal reward. So it is the message of the Bible encapsulated in a book, and it's a beautiful book, but you got to learn how to read it. And unfortunately, the world doesn't know how to read it. I think even more systemically problematic is that the church no longer seems to know how to read the book of Revelation. I wrote a book about this called The Apocalypse Code. Find out what the Bible really says about the end times and why it matters today. It does teach you how to read the book of Revelation for all it's worth. Margaret next in California. Hi, Margaret.
Hi. Oh, and thank you for taking my call, and God bless you. December 26th of 2011, I was diagnosed with stage 4 small cell neuroendocrine carcinoma, incurable. Life expectancy was 10 years. Well, just as of May 30th of 2015, my oncologist informed me I was cancer-free.
Wow.
Yes. And I'm elated, though I have to be honest, I was a little disappointed because I do believe in our Lord with all of my heart. And I was looking forward, looking forward to that in spite of the fact that, you know, people see this as a negative thing, cancer. I want to be giddy with anticipation when my time comes to meet our Lord. But I just wanted to give you that that statement from my doctor that I am now cancer-free, and I don't know, is this a miracle? That's the only thing I can get to, that this is a miracle. What else could it possibly be other than, as my oncologist termed it, me? He says, I cured you. So I bless my cancer team and everyone involved, my family, my friends, strangers even, and I know it can return, but still, is this a miracle?
Yeah, first of all, let me say that that was one of the most eloquent testimonies I have ever heard, particularly the part about being giddy, which is a perfect way of describing how we should feel, because the alternative to not being healed in this world is the best of all possibilities, because we will be in the presence of the Lord. And so I really appreciate your testimony. And we don't know. I mean, obviously, the whole thing is a miracle in many different ways. A miracle in terms of the transformation of the person. A miracle in that God can supernaturally heal you. I don't know the circumstances of your life and your situation well enough to speak authoritatively. The thing that I do know with certainty, given your testimony, is that your priorities are in exactly the right place. And the great wonder of it all is, Margaret, that you are left here for a purpose, and that is to be a testimony to his goodness and grace, which you've just been.
Oh, well, thank you for that, because I didn't write this down. I didn't become prepared. It just came from the heart. But yes, my belief, too, is it's God's will. I prayed that every day many times. You know, God, help me with this, help me with that, but your will be done.
Amen.
And I believe in that. Also, my son is a Buddhist, and he's been in the military for almost 20 years. And he is, the past 3 years, they moved him out here. He asked to be relocated, you know, nearer to me because of my health condition. Well, he's been going into a slump, and I don't even know if you, other than prayer, I don't know what to do for my son. He's not paid his bills. Luckily, he was able to withdraw some of his money from his military accounts to cover him, you know, to take care of all the things that he didn't bother to pay, his car insurance, rent, etc. And he's not a drug addict, but he does drink alcohol, but he's cutting down on that. And this is my big worry, that he was my only reason for really not wanting to leave. He's my only child. If I didn't have Robert, I don't know if I would have gone through chemo or not.
Hey, Margaret, I don't mean to be rude or disrespectful in any way. I'm just right up against the clock, and I have no choice but to cut you off there. Let's pray for him right now. Father, thank you so much for Margaret and for her words, which truly were like apples of gold in settings of silver. spoken in the right circumstance, an encouragement to me, and I'm sure to many, many people around the world. Lord, we do take the opportunity to lift Robert before your throne of grace. And we pray, Lord, that he might be liberated from the hell of reincarnation and find what his mother has, the hope of resurrection, which is an absolutely certain hope. Lord, may the testimony, not just of her lips, but the testimony of her love and life be so compelling that Robert makes a U-turn on the road of life, that he finds Jesus Christ to be his all, that he finds not only the port of salvation, but he goes beyond that port to find that the shipwrecked, ultimately on their journey to union with God. Please, Lord, continue to be the balm of Gilead in the life of Margaret, and through the prayers of God's people, reach Robert through the power of your Spirit. Again, not by might nor by power, but by your Spirit. In the name of Christ Jesus, our Lord, we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Bless you, Margaret. So long for now.
Thank you for joining us today. June is one of the most important months for the Bible Answer Man broadcast. That's because we close out another financial year, and we can do so successfully only if listening friends like you stand with us prayerfully and financially. With your gift, you'll help CRI impact even more lives with God's truth. Please call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI, or simply visit online at equip.org. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is funded by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter. Breaking the code of the Book of Revelation has become an international obsession. The result has been rampant misreading of Scripture, bad theology, and even bad politics and foreign policy. In the Apocalypse Code, find out what the Bible really says about the end times and why it matters today. Hank Hanegraaff argues that the key to understanding the last book of the Bible is the other 65 books of the Bible, not current events or recent history. The Apocalypse Code offers sane answers to some very controversial questions, such as, what does it mean to take the book of Revelation literally? Who are the Antichrist and the Great Whore of Babylon? And what is the real meaning of 666? Order The Apocalypse Code by Hank Hanegraaff today. Available in softcover, MP3 CD, or MP3 download from equip.org. Or call 888-7000-CRI.